Morning, everyone. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we get to gather today on Palm Sunday. We thank you that restrictions are kind of moving in the right direction, and we can sort of be released from some of that. And we just pray your blessing on our service this morning. We pray that we hear your voice, that we know your presence, and that we walk out of this place feeling that we are further on in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. 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 Well, folks, lovely to see you all. And also, we're so bad at remembering to say hello to the online people as well. So a huge hello to them. And maybe they want to tell us where they're from or something in the comments section or whatever. But we don't want to forget that there's even about 50 or 60 people watching live this morning with us as well. But it's so good to see everybody here on site also. I wonder, does anybody here listen to TalkSport? Anyone listen to TalkSport here? Okay, a few people listen to TalkSport. Okay, who here watches Loose Women? Anybody watch Loose Women here? Did you just put your hand up? He did this. He did this. I know there is a wee bit of a difference there. Okay. So sorry, TalkSport, hands up. Yeah, TalkSport. There we go. All right. For a few people watch TalkSport. Loose Women, hands up. Loose Women. Hey, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Nobody. Matt Porter, good man. He didn't really put his hand up. That was just me humiliating. So we've got those two things. Who watches GB News? Who watches GB News? All right, GB News. Okay, a few people watch that as well. Okay. The reason why I mentioned those three things is, but my thinking is that in all of those three programs that would say this sort of thing, we're all about opinions here, and we're not afraid to give our opinions here. Okay, everybody's got an opinion, and in the last few weeks, I suppose, there's been a lot of question around the Oscars. Have we all seen the wee moment in the Oscars? Nobody, I haven't got a clue who won anything, but I know some fella slapped another fella, okay? And in the days after that, there was all of this, wasn't there? It was, did Chris Rock deserve a slap? I'm not going to ask you your opinion on that. Did he deserve a slap? And all these people talked about, oh, you know, it's terrible. You know, he was saying stuff about alopecia and all that sort of stuff, and they all talked about that. And then some people said, but then did Will Smith deserve his Oscar? I mean, what he did, that was terrible. And all of this stuff, we heard this, didn't we? All of this sort of discussion and all. And it was amazing to hear people's opinions on it. And then I heard a guy, do you know the guy that played Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, is that his name? Daniel Radcliffe. And he was asked about it, and he said, I'm not going to say anything more about it. I'm so sick of hearing everybody's opinion on it. Was anybody else sick of hearing everybody's opinion on it? Absolutely incredible, isn't it? Everybody's got such big opinions. And then I read this week, okay, a really helpful quote. It said this, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has them, and some of them stink. Okay, isn't that really good? Opinions are like armpits. Everybody has one. Some of them stink, okay? I'm sure you've got lots of opinions. Does Harry deserve royal protection? Should Boris be punished for Partygate? We've all opinions, and it's okay to have opinions. But Psalm 24. Here's more than an opinion. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So did Chris Rock deserve a slap? Does Boris deserve punishment? Does Harry deserve royal protection? All those questions, they're all opinions. But what David says is, God deserves praise. It's more than an opinion. God deserves praise. He deserves praise. Why does he deserve praise? Because he made the whole world. So it's his, the fullness thereof, the world, but also those who dwell within the world. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Because he made it, he deserves its praise. Do we give it to him? You know, I was thinking as I was reading that, it's really interesting how it writes it. The earth is the Lord's and everything inside it. Like the rectory is not myself and Zara's, okay? So we don't insure it, okay? The church has to insure the rectory because they own it. But the stuff inside we own, so we have to get contents insurance because we own that bit. But the Lord owns the earth and everything and everybody inside. He owns it all. And so he deserves our praise. It's not an opinion, it's more than an opinion because he made it all. And you know, it's really interesting. We're in Psalm 24. So if I say Psalm 22 to you, what do you think that's about? Give me a verse from Psalm 22 that you can think of. Bible quiz time. Okay. Sorry? What is it? We're getting the Sunday morning mumble. Okay, what is it? I'll give you a clue. My God, my God, why have you? So what's that about? Psalm 22. It's about the cross. Okay. Now, if you don't get this one, I'm going to be really disappointed. Psalm 23, what's that about? The Lord's my shepherd. Oh, we're sort of okay. So first one's about the cross. This one's about the crook. Okay. The Lord's my shepherd. Okay. The third one is this one. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's going to go on to say, who is this King of glory? The third is about the crown. Okay. The cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. The crook. The Lord's my shepherd, Psalm 23. The crown. Who is this King of glory? And he is the King, and he deserves our praise, and we cannot forget that. He's the King. He deserves our praise. It's not an opinion. He made it all. It is all his. He deserves our praise. It's really interesting. When you come to the Palm Sunday, I should say, and Jesus is riding in on that donkey into Jerusalem. There's about three offerings made to him, at least, I think. What we have, first of all, is we have people giving their voices. So what are they saying? Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. All these sorts of things they're saying. They're giving their voices. The second thing is they're giving their cloaks. They're spreading their cloaks on the ground and also on the donkey and all of that. So they're giving their possessions. Okay? And the third thing they're doing is they're giving him back something of nature, because they're taking the palm branches that they've got from the fields and they're swinging those around. They're giving all of themselves and all of the world. Voices, possessions, and the world stuff. And that's exactly how it should be. Because what happens, the religious authorities say, sir, tell your disciples to be quiet. He's encouraged to rebuke them. But what does he say? He says, if they did not praise, the very rocks or stones would cry. In other words, because the earth is the Lord's and all there within, it is natural for everything in this world to praise God. That is the way it should be because of his kingship. But yet it's not. But a wee spoiler alert, when it comes to the moment on the cross where nobody is praising, and if they did not cry, what happens? The stones cry out. There is an earthquake when Jesus is being crucified. The stones cry out. Folks, the first thing I want you to see is that he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of praise. Now, we're going to see in a little while that the praise of Palm Sunday was a little superficial, but he's worthy of praise. The second thing that I want us to see is that we're not worthy. Okay, we're not worthy, because it goes on to say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is Psalm 24. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul up to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. So who is worthy of the presence of God? The answer is the person with clean hands and a pure heart who has never lifted their soul up to an idol. Okay? That's who's worthy. See, it's interesting. The question of the 21st century is, how can I be happy? Certainly of the West in the 21st century, the most important question of us all is, how can I be happy? But for most other cultures and for most of history, the question was, how can I be right with the God or a God? Do you understand what I mean? Like, our question is, how can I be happy? But for a long time it was, how can I be right with God? And that's the thing that's been asked here. Who is worthy to ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul up to an idol. Psalm 130 verse 3 says, Lord, if you marked my transgressions, who could stand? None of us are worthy. Clean hands is about our activity. Ren's little confession is good here. Clean hands is about activity. Clean hearts, pure hearts, is about intention. What did Pilate do when he knew he was in trouble? He was afraid of meeting his maker. He wasn't asking the question, how can I be happy, but how will I stand before God? And Pilate's wife gives him a wee bit of a nudge. I've had a dream. I don't think this is a good idea. What does Pilate do? He thinks, I'll clean my hands. You know, the problem was, you can clean your hands, but you can't clean your own heart. And Pilate didn't need sanitizer, although it's still a good thing, but he needed a savior. None of us have clean hands. None of us have pure hearts, not ministers, not bishops, not archbishops, not anybody. And so we're unworthy. And the only worthiness comes in this way. It says, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. We're not worthy, so we seek the face of Jesus. And this week, as we move into Holy Week, and there's lots and lots and lots happening across Holy Week, but it's all about seeking the face of Jesus, seeing Jesus afresh. And we're going to be thinking of looking at Jesus, the amazing one, on Monday night. We're going to be thinking of Jesus, really pushing my brain here, the healer on Tuesday night, the Messiah on Wednesday night, the servant on Thursday night, the Savior on Friday night, the risen one on at dawn and at 10 o'clock here and 11:30 in Marlin on Easter Sunday. We're seeking the face of him because we're not worthy, but he is. And such is the generation of those who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Thirdly, he's worthy, we're not. And thirdly, if we move to our next slide, we need to welcome him. We need to welcome him. You know, we see here in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is written from Spurgeon, who you know I like a bit of Spurgeon. And here's what it says. When the King of England wished to enter the city of London through the Temple Bar, the gate being closed against him, the herald demanded entrance, shouting, "Open the gate." And from within a voice is heard, "Who is there?" And the herald answers, "The King of England." And the gate is at once opened. And the king passes amidst the joyful acclamations of his people. This is an ancient custom, and the allusion to it is in Psalm 24. You picture the scene. You know, it's this reenactment. He comes, he says, "Open the door! Who is it? The King of England!" And then they lift up the gates. That's what we're being told here, that he, the one who is coming, is worthy. We are not, and we need to welcome him. Now, Psalm 24, we don't really know when it was written or why it was written. We know David wrote it, but we don't know exactly on what occasion. But most commentators believe it's the Ark of the Covenant is involved. And for anyone who doesn't know this story, basically what happened was the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, which was this symbol of God's presence, and they put the Ark of the Covenant in their temple. But it started to cause them a lot of bother because in a pagan temple, the Ark of the Covenant didn't behave, and you know the idols all around it fell on their faces. The Philistines started getting sick, and basically when it came to it, they went, "See this thing we've stolen? Take it back." Okay, get rid of it, take it back, please. And they put it on an animal and send it back. But the problem is, Israel then have a difficult moment with it because they don't handle the presence of God in the right way. And so a man is struck dead. And they say, we don't want it either. Okay, we don't want the Ark of the Covenant either. And then a man called Obed-Edom, he takes the Ark of the Covenant in his own home for 3 months. And everything is just amazing for Obed-Edom. And then David sees this and he goes, we need God's presence right back in the middle of the city. And he brings it back in the right way. And he dances before the Ark, dances before the presence of God. And he's so excited. He's like, let the King of Glory in. Let the King of Glory in. And so God takes his place back in the city of God. And that's what we're seeing here, that the presence of God is coming back in. But on Palm Sunday, again, we see the presence of God. It says in the Bible that in him, Jesus, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The presence of God is coming back to the city. And people are cheering, which is good, but not everybody is cheering. These religious people aren't particularly happy about it. But it's interesting, in Matthew 21, the people ask, who is this? When they see the stir that's happening across Jerusalem, who is this? And then the answer is, he's a prophet. And they have the wrong idea of who he is. And I suppose this week, in Holy Week, we want to correct that. We want everybody to see who he really is. He's the King of Glory. He's the King of Glory coming in. You know, different people think about this from different perspectives. So as I say, people think Psalm 24, the King of Glory coming in, like the Ark of the Covenant coming back into Jerusalem. People think of Jesus riding in on Palm Sunday. Some people think of Jesus coming up to heaven after the crucifixion and resurrection and basically let me in, and he's let in and he's put into the highest place of heaven because of what he's done. And some people think of it from the perspective of Revelation 3 verse 20, which I'm sure many of us will know. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would let me in, I would come in and eat with them. See, it's about the Ark coming into Jerusalem. It's about Jesus coming in on the donkey. It's about Jesus coming into heaven after he's victorious. But it's also for us today about the fact that Jesus wants to come into our hearts. It was just this morning, Hubert came up to me and told me that 22 years ago, on Palm Sunday, he let the King of Glory into his heart. You know, have you let the King of Glory into yours? That makes Hubert, I was only about 3 when that happened. But if you let the King of Glory into your heart, lift up your heads, O gates. Do gates have heads? Do they have heads? Gates? They've got capstones or something, don't they? Do they have heads? See, gates here speaks of gatekeepers. Gatekeepers, lift up your heads, O gatekeepers. It's like, imagine a gatekeeper in the middle of the night sleeping or something, and it's like, lift up your head, gatekeeper, wake up, be lifted up, O ancient doors. Do you lift doors up? Well, back in the day, what did they call that? Portcullis? Is that right? Portcullis? Where it's like, and the gate comes up and all that sort of stuff. Lift up your heads, gatekeepers, waking up, get that lifted up. Let the King of Glory in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of angel armies. He is the King of Glory. Let's stand together. And the worship guys, I think, are going to come up, please. Folks, let's just put ourselves in an attitude of prayer. I'm sure many of us, if we haven't already, we should do it when we get home. But many of us have heard a beautiful song by Andrew Peterson. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? And I want you to ask yourself that question right now. Is he worthy? Do we believe that he has made us and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture? Do we believe that? Is he worthy? Does he deserve our praise? What's your opinion? And secondly, when we think about entering into heaven, are we worthy? Are we worthy? Are our hands clean enough? Are our hearts pure enough? Have we never lifted our souls up to an idol? Or are we a bit like me? We know our hands aren't clean. We know our hearts aren't pure. We know we've been unfaithful to God. And so we need to seek the face of God in Jesus on the cross. Can I just ask folks, just by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God would just give you a revelation of the cross now. Lord, we just pray for that, for each and every person here, a real picture of the cross, a real sense of what Jesus did for them. And we seek his face as the only one who could cleanse us. And now, folks, we ask, have you let the King of Glory in? The one who knocks on the door, the one who calls out through his herald this morning. Open the gates. Who is it? It's the King of Glory. Lord God, I pray that you would waken up the gatekeepers of our hearts this morning. I pray that doors would be lifted, ancient doors that are hard to shift would be lifted, and the King of Glory would come in. As a commentator called Meyer said, it's no good the King of Glory being outside. He needs to be within. Lord, would you put your Son on the throne in our hearts? That we would live for him, that we would worship him, that we would adore him. Come into my life, King of Glory. Come into our church, King of Glory. Come into our worship, King of Glory. Come in.